Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party. Yeah.
Everyone, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. I'm your host, Alana Johnson, and with me on today of all special days is producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa. Norm, how you doing on the big day?
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much.
The big 26.
Oh my God, imagine if I was 26. Ew, girls on your part.
No, that'd be fine.
Being so much older than me, Norm, you know I'm immature.
Wait a minute. Now you're saying that it's weird because you're immature now.
I know, at 26.
Oh, okay.
Norm, how you feeling? Scale 1 to 10 on my birthday about yourself.
I don't know. I feel fine.
Yeah. I'm getting just a neutral energy from you.
Yeah, very neutral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a neutral, possibly a tinge low. I don't know.
Could be a 4.
I've heard a couple, you know, negative talk today from you. And
what did I say that was negative?
Well, Norm, you made a comment about your body that wasn't so nice to yourself.
Oh,
and
sure.
I thought, excuse you, don't talk about my husband like this, you little twerp. Get out of here.
Yeah.
That's why I was wondering how you were feeling. I mean, I wonder every week, but but that's especially why I was wondering.
It's the
today.
Whole point of the podcast is what we do at the beginning.
Well, it's like, I know it's my birthday, but today might be your day, Norm.
No.
You got to ask yourself, are you worth it?
Wow. How are you doing? It's your birthday.
It's my birthday.
Yeah.
I've already caused a lot of drama, about as much as I can. I had a really very funny morning.
What was so funny about it?
Oh my God, I was like so sick this morning. I felt so sick this morning just from like traveling and everything.
You just
and
came
exhaustion.
Back from Philadelphia.
I just came back from visiting the fam in Philly. And so I felt very sick from exhaustion and then made an immediate recovery and bounced back. And now I'm feeling like $1 million.
Okay.
But this morning was rough. 6 a.m., stay out of my way.
You woke up before the dog.
I did. Watch yourself, Mia. Nobody wants you around anymore.
And then we just came back from lunch. We had a sushi lunch.
You know, our server was the one that was literally out to lunch.
Got
to
be one of the, I mean,
the
God bless him.
Biggest space cadet. Oh my God.
Yeah. Like his brain was just filled with rocks
like,
and oil.
Literally, what was his rocky, oily problem?
Not smart.
I really couldn't get over it. He was ruining my whole day, except that I loved him.
No, I mean, I was
a little
big kick
in love with him.
Yeah, of course.
I was like,
well,
maybe I could raise him or marry him.
Yeah, he basically walked up to us and was like, restaurant.
I honestly didn't even know he worked there. I thought he was just a guy off the street because we were sitting on the sidewalk.
Yeah. And then there was a table next to us and they couldn't find their card and he definitely lost
100% he lost it. Yeah. That is the only thing I trust about him.
Yeah.
He lost that card.
What do you think his name was? He looks like a Kevin or something.
Oh, he's a Danny. I don't know what else to tell you.
Makes sense.
I hate to break it to you, Norm. No, Kevin's got it together. It's my birthday today. Thanks so much for just being as nice as you can amidst this body drama you've been causing for yourself today with your one quiet comment.
Yeah, one quiet comment about how a short haircut makes me look like a bowling pin and now I'm getting ragged
on. You're never going to live this one down with me, okay?
Yeah, cut to us eating the biggest, worst served lunch ever.
Because the lunch itself was good.
Yeah, it was quite good.
I liked the food. I tell you what, this is what this year is going to be about for me.
Oh, great.
You know, I would say 2017, like the age 36, or 2017, I meant to say.
What are you talking about?
I meant to say.
What did Danny put in your drink?
Because instead of 2017, I meant to say 37.
Gotcha.
So the age, my age of this past year, 37.
Mistake. We all make it.
Sorry about that.
How old am I? I'm just turning 2018. What the fuck are you talking about?
No, don't be rude to me on my big day. Anyways, I was going to say, 37 was about surviving. I think 38 is about thriving.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
You might be a 4, but I'm about to be a 40. Off the charts. 4 times the amount of self-esteem somebody can have at their max.
You're turning 40?
No, or? I'm going to be a 40 out of 10 on the self-esteem chart.
Oh, I see.
So I said I'm going to have 4 times self-esteem than any human is possible.
Right, right.
Think I can do it?
So last year, of course, being the year 2018. And
no,
now
2017.
You're turning 2017. And now you're turning 40.
Now I'm turning
which
2018.
Which is a state of mind because actually, mentally, you're 26.
You know what, Norm? I don't know why I have you on this podcast. Like coming out of 10, you bring me down to a -2. I'm just kidding. I'm nothing without you.
I edit this thing so I can put whatever, keep whatever in.
Oh my God, Norm, leave it all. I don't want to erase any memories of us.
Okay. What's going on here?
Norm, are you looking forward to Top Gun tonight?
We're going to go watch Top Gun.
Do you think it's going to raise your self-esteem?
No.
I don't think it's going to raise mine either, because Tom Cruise has a better body than me.
Yeah.
I want his body.
I think he has a better body than anybody. But small, tiny, short.
Isn't he just something?
Yeah, he has a bit of a Danny body.
That little cutie. Oh, yeah, Danny. Ugh. Should have given him my number and said, let me help you.
There was a table with just a stack of napkins, and he asked it if it can help with anything. Okay? He's that. Yeah, I saw him serving water to a plant.
Bless him.
More water? Plant? Danny? Yeah, Danny.
Norm, what advice do you have for me? Having already been 2018.
Well, I did say this on the way back from our sushi lunch with the worst waiter in the world, Danny. Mm-hmm. You got to get out there. And once you get out there and you see how stupid everyone else is, it makes you feel good.
Yeah, that's true. That was some sound advice that you gave me, which was to compare myself to others. And from that, thrive.
That's right.
Okay? Because back in 2017, a.k.a. the age last 37. Last year,
2017,
I was surviving. So you can't even do a comparison because you're like, I'm barely hanging on. I've got nothing. And now things are so much better. This God.
It's your Tom Cruise year.
This is my TC year.
2018. Everyone's so confused.
I think it's going to be a good one. Listen, we're already off to a great start of a huge recovery from the illness. I didn't even tell you about it, Norm.
What are you talking about?
My morning illness. What are you talking about? I made it very clear my morning illness.
You didn't.
That lasted about 10 minutes.
You just said you woke up feeling weird.
Norm, I didn't want you to freak out like you are right now. You're so worried about me. Listen to you.
Still hovering around a 4 out of 10. I'm not freaking out at all.
No, you're pretty even keeled. That's one of the things I said I missed about you while I was gone. I missed
how neutral even, I am.
Yeah, how neutral you are. Bless that mess now for you. Shall we get to it?
Yeah, I think you should. Yeah, we have a great guest.
Yeah.
By we, I mean you.
Yeah, I have a great guest lined up. We had an epic catch up, I'd say, after quite some time. We discussed a movie of hers.
Jocelyn and, DeBoer.
You know, Norm.
It's in the title of the podcast.
On my birthday, you could have just let me have this one intro.
Well, not unless you do it now.
I am going to do it now. Everyone, please help me welcome to my delight, Jocelyn DeBoer, right after this break.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Hey, everybody. I'm here to talk to you about Ana Luisa Jewelry. We're currently doing a promo with them. Buy one, get one 40% off sale. shop.analuisa.com/self-esteem. That's shop.analuisa.com/self-esteem. This jewelry is super cute. I have a couple necklaces and bracelets that come in many different sizes, which makes it really great to kind of customize to what you're looking for. They've got jewelry starting at $39. It's the perfect gift. I cannot recommend it more, you guys. Super cute, super affordable. Go check it out. That's shop.analuisa.com/self-esteem. You guys are going to want to get on this sale while it lasts. I'm telling you, take it from me, the queen of self-esteem.
It's a self-esteem party. It's a self-esteem party.
Jocelyn, welcome to the Self Esteem Party Podcast. I am so excited to see you. We didn't even get to do preamble because you were doing the headphones.
That's right.
So this is right into it. We didn't even get to do the gossip. Usually I get a bit of hot goss off the top, but today it was all business.
I'm so happy to be here, and I'm so happy to have our hot goss with all of our listeners.
And you know what? They are too, because usually I say stay on the line to hear like the names of the people I'm talking about because I don't reveal them. And I always tell people DM me to get the names, and you'd be surprised how many people don't DM me. I mean, I'm offering up all kinds of gossip. I know. Nobody cares.
Shocking.
But don't worry. I've got you now, Jocelyn, and I know you'll stay on the line.
That's right. I will. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah. So, Jocelyn, I like to start this podcast off with a self-esteem party check-in. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling about yourself today, lately, however long you want to measure?
I've been thinking about this because I know that I've had, I mean, I've known that I'm going to have to answer this. I think you're honestly catching me in a really weird week.
Really?
Yes. I think I'm a little low. I think I'm maybe a 5 or a 6. Whereas I think in general, I have, you know, I'm more of a 7 or 8.
Yeah. No. You are. That's why I am surprised to hear that, because, you know, on this show, I normally would measure a 5 as like neutral, where it's like nothing's the worst.
Yeah.
But nothing's the best.
Yeah.
You're just like, it's just, this is what's happening right now. And you're like caught in the middle of like
feeling
either way.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I look at when I feel like a 5, is I'm like, I feel caught in the middle of something and I can't quite latch on to one particular side.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. I think that is a good description. Things in our world right now are really chaotic and sad and terrible.
Yeah.
And that's affecting all of us, that for sure. There are some really positive things happening this week. Like, two of my friends just had babies, like one last night and one the day before. So exciting.
Yes. Is there, we're talking about
Ingrid,
right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Her
yes
little
is
girl.
One of them. Yes.
And then, so, you know, I work with Don Luby. We're like attached at the hip. We direct and write and everything together. And normally we spend every day, all day together working. And she is right now in Seattle with her older sister who just had a baby last night. Also a baby girl.
Oh, my God. Fresh off the press.
Yes. Yes. So that's exciting. So I haven't, like, had my normal every day with Don. But we're attached to direct this movie that we've been working on for a couple years. And it was starring Ray Liotta, who died. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We just watched... Oh my God, what was the name of it on Criterion Channel? Ray Liotta's in it, and Melanie Griffith is in it, and Jeff Bridges.
Oh,
Is it Jeff Bridges? Shoot, what's it called? Okay, it'll come to me. No, because we just watched it because he passed, and we were like, oh my God. Oh my God, I can't believe he was attached to it. That's so great. You don't think about that.
It's so sad. He was so kind to me and Don, Alana. Like, it was like insane that we got to meet him. And
that is insane to get to meet him, because in what world would our circles cross of like starting out just all of us doing silly sketches at UCB, and then you're like, okay, Ray Liotta, here's what I'm going to tell you to do. It's like, what?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's how we felt going into that meeting with him. We met him at the Casa del Mar in Santa Monica, the hotel.
Oh my
and
God.
We went to go there and we were like, we feel so ridiculous. Like, he's not going to listen to us. This is just like, you know, who are we? And then he treated us just like geniuses, the geniuses we are not, and was so respectful and everything. Oh, it's so sad. I'm so heartbroken
for his
family, everyone. So weird. It's really strange.
Oh, my God. I am catching you in a strange week. This is a lot of, like, grief for everyone in different ways. Like,
it's really strange. Also, this is a weird thing that's happening today, is that, so, you know, all of our parents are getting older. You know, my dad's health is declining a bit. It's really, you know, it's really sad. And he has this ranch out in Missouri that he bought a few years ago. And all of our childhood stuff is there, everything. And my mom goes from Missouri to out here where she has a place in my neighborhood. And we're moving him out of the ranch. And the moving trucks were there this morning. So I'm like getting pictures of like my, you know, high school yearbooks being like, are you sure you want to keep these? And I'm like, no, I'm not sure. What does everyone do with their yearbooks?
Oh, yeah. No, I got rid of mine immediately.
You did?
My mom kept those. If my mom kept those, that's on her, keeping a bunch of photos of kids that her kids do not want.
Right, because we don't need these yearbooks. Okay, I need to get rid of these.
You know, I kept my pictures. I didn't keep yearbooks, but I kept all the photos that I took with like disposable cameras and stuff like that. I put them all into albums because I was like, one day for a show, I'm going to fucking want these.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to want them. But the yearbook, I bet I could find online.
Of course you could. Yeah, that's very true.
You know what I mean? So that's why I didn't keep a hard copy. That's why.
The photos are so funny to go back and look at, though, too, because it's like now we edit our photos so much, you know, like we only have the really good ones saved to albums. Oh, yeah. But I have just like boxes of photos from like parties of like half of someone's head. But I still look
and
at them
like,
and I'm
this
like,
this one turned out.
I know. I have such a hard time partying with those things. It's so funny. But that's all happening.
God. So the move's happening right now.
Right now.
Any report how he's taking it? What's the buzz?
My dad's okay. I think he's feeling kind of he's trying to sell the house, and I think he's ready to move on from it. I think as soon as he knew he had to, he started to feel like all of our stuff was there, especially my mom's, and you know, like you girls need to get your stuff out. And so I think he's relieved that step is happening.
Okay.
We're going down there next week to then, you know, help with more stuff. It's a whole thing, you know.
I had a friend that just said goodbye to a childhood home. Her parents are moving. And I get it. I get that feeling. It's when my parents left our childhood home, like, because we had all moved to Toronto and we grew up about 45 to an hour north of Toronto, kind of in more like farm country, but not on a farm, but in farm country. And I was like upset that they were leaving because I was like, well, now I have nowhere to go to because they were just moving to Toronto, like just kind of following their kids. You know, nobody really asked them to come, but that's fine. No one was like, you guys got to get down here.
No. Yeah.
But they came, whatever. But it was really hard. It was hard to say goodbye to everything. But I didn't take much with me because I have it all in a chest.
You do?
Yes. I picked the most necessary things and put them in a chest. And then I take, like, my grandmother just passed. I'm taking a few things from her place. Like, I take a few things with me that I've moved to every house, but I pretty much have it all in one chest.
Where is your chest? Is it at the foot of your bed?
There's no room because the stupid dog bed is there. The dog's ruining everyone's life, but it's in the shed right now. But it's like the shed's clean. And it's nicely stored, so it's not going to get, like, trashed or anything like that.
Okay, that's good.
There's no room. Yeah, there's no room in the house for it yet that that's really stood out to me.
You and Norm joke about wanting to get rid of your dog.
But you know what? This week really came to a breaking point. I'm not joking. Jocelyn, this week, Norm had it with the dog. I've never seen him so mad.
What happened?
Oh, my God. Okay, she hasn't been allowed to go in the backyard because there was foxtails there, which we found out from our friend, Steph, who was at our house in the backyard. And she was like, guys, you can't have this. And we were like, what? That's weeds. And she was like, no, this is really bad for dogs. We had no clue.
If they
so
eat
she hasn't
them?
Been allowed. No, like if you like step on them or something, they like get into your skin and they don't come out and it can like cause infection. Like her dog had to get a surgery. It's like a whole thing apparently.
Oh my God.
I had no clue. It looks like wheat. Like it looks like wheat. So you wouldn't, whatever, you wouldn't be able to like pick it out of a lineup or something. So anyways, so she hasn't been able to go out there because we had to get rid of all of them. And she's been in such a huff. Like, I mean such a huff. She's being a total piece of shit that even Norm lost his patience. And normally he's always team dog, but he's lost his patience. She's better now. Everyone's fine and calmed down. But about 2 days ago, Jocelyn should hit the fan.
It was okay. That sounds
it
bad.
It was bad.
Yeah.
but she's okay otherwise.
Who had the dog first? Or was it, did you get the dog together?
We got the dog in the pandemic. Like,
recently. Okay. Okay. Got yeah, it. Jesus. Got it.
Yeah. No, we feel bad. I did tell Norma, I was like, we have to stop complaining about the dog because I think people are really worried about our mental health and the dog.
No. I wanted to talk about it because I have a dog. I almost said I have a bad dog. I think I know that I am a bad owner and it's my fault. My dog is bad. But he's bad. I love him. He's my baby. But...
I appreciate that you accept responsibility, Jocelyn. I try with this dog. I've never owned a dog. So everything was so new to me. And she's big. And I was scared of her when we first got her because, I don't know, it's a big dog.
Yeah.
But she's fine.
I grew up with dogs, some big dogs. But I don't ever remember needing to, like, train them or anything. And I'm sure that's because I didn't. Like, I just, like, remember them existing and being loving and wonderful.
This is why you're a terrible owner, because you just assumed that the acquisition of the dog was enough.
Yes, that's truly it. My love will get us through anything. Also, I was never scared of dogs, but now that I have this dog, who I've had for 5 years, who kind of nips and will, like, bite a little in things, now I am terrified of dogs. Like, my friend's dogs that are big, I'm, like, scared of them.
Because of your own dog? Yes, that's the problem?
Yes, I'm like, I think all dogs are unpredictable.
Jocelyn. Yeah. Is this your parenting skills? Is this what you're going to be enforcing in the house?
No, I know. I'm actually really glad I've had this experience first with my dog because, I should tell everyone, I have a 10-and-a-half-month-old son named Dashiell. And, today I went to our first class ever together.
Apparently, like a music class?
No, it was it's a Rye class. So it's spelled R-I-E, and it's so I heard about it from Dre Vermeulen. Dre and Rachel take their girls there, but they're older than Dashiell, so he just started today. And it's a philosophy of parenting started by this woman Magda Gerber who really taught. I'm new to this, guys, but it's like about respecting the child, even an infant, like their own being. So things like,
I love that.
If you're gonna pick up the baby, you just say to him, "I'm gonna pick you up now," and don't just like rip off their clothes and stuff. They like explain what's happening. I know, I really like it too, and it's really amazing.
It sounds so gentle. Like it sounds so loving and communicative.
It's really gentle. You know what's funny is when I was pregnant, I walk this bad dog every day. for an hour.
We love the dog. We love the dog.
But I listen to audiobooks while I do that, and so while I was pregnant, I went on this like spree of listening to a ton of audiobooks. And I was running out of the popular books that everyone had listened to. And so I was like, what is this book from Libby, the library, like free book app? And it was called Secrets of a Baby Whisperer. And it's not Rye, but it was my favorite book that I listened to. And it was, I think it's like 2.5 hours long or something. And it's a British woman, I think recorded in like 1984. And she has this high-pitched voice and she's like, when you bring your baby home from a hospital, give them a tour of your home. How would you like to arrive at a home and not have a tour?
Good point, though.
I know, it's sweet. It's really sweet. So we did, so I tried to, and she really was like, talk to your baby about everything that's going on. And then when I started learning about Rye from, mutual friends that we all have who are doing it, I was like, oh, this is like the baby whisperer.
Oh, my God. This is cute.
So Dashiell had his first class today. Yeah.
is that hard and feel like a lot of pressure to kind of choose a parenting route or something like that? Because I feel like now, before everything is like, okay, the age of five, like how impressionable and like all these things, the age of five. But it's like, I feel like things start out so young now and yes. like having to meet so early for schools
yes.
to get into schools and stuff like this. And I'm like, is this not like a lot of pressure right from the jump? It feels yeah. like a lot.
It does. It totally feels like a lot of pressure. And I do often have that feeling of like I'm behind or like there's something everyone knows that I don't know. For sure. But in the parenting philosophy things, it's funny because I feel like I've always had a little bit of a, I don't know, skepticism sort of to some of this kind of thing. Like, I know, I don't know. I joke sometimes that, like, I was raised in the Midwest. It's like a family who doesn't communicate that well. And, like, mm-hmm. it's, but I think I do, I feel like as an adult, I have a pretty healthy mental health. As opposed to like, you know, I have this one friend who was raised by therapists and, you know, all
both of them.
Uh-huh. And like all of wow. her emotions from a very young age were like a lot of attention was put towards them. And like, you know, let's talk about every feeling. Let's talk about this, which like I want to say right now, I think is healthy and probably really good. But, you know, I saw the way she adjusted and some other friends that I know that have that situation. And, like, my experience was different. Like, but I was a very dramatic child, like, having tantrums and things like that. And I really remember, like, my dad being like, oh, Jossie, it's all so bad. Everything is so bad. And, like, you know, kind of, like, and but, like, to a point where, like, it would make me laugh and actually, I think, help me have perspective.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, but, okay, I hesitate to even say this. I'm listening to myself and I'm like, it's probably wrong. Yeah.
I think I kind of know what you're saying, though, adding a bit of humor to it, because we are comedians, so it's like, we did have to get it from somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I appreciate your dad putting a spin on it, because it's like, well, we got to get the joke from somebody.
It's true. It's
you got to remember this, too. Do you want your kid to be funny or not? You got to make these adjustments.
That's true. That's a whole other part of parenting where you're like, and how do you make this kid be funny? No, we don't think about that.
Now, these are the classes I want to take. Let's get this baby to the second city right away.
Exactly. Clowning, is that still a thing? Forget something. It's so funny. But yeah, in class today, it's a really interesting class because they put out sheets, you know, like bed sheets with toys on them, but it's mostly kitchen toys. And there were like hair rollers and things from the house. And you're supposed to put the babies in the, you know, in that place. And you sit along the perimeter and mostly observe them. And then the teacher kind of gives little coaching throughout. And I have to say, I have never been, like, so self-conscious recently for, like, 2 hours. I was, like, in my head the whole time of, like, can I help him? He's looking at me. What can I do? Like, you know, like, is it okay? There was one point where Dashiell was, like, climbing on a platform, and he was, like, really reaching a lot for a toy that he eventually got. But as soon as he got it, and I was thinking the whole time, like, don't help him. Don't say good job. Like, and then he got it, and I was like, mm-hmm, okay. And then he just toppled backwards and, like, hit his head on the grass, you know, lightly. Like, it was grass and kids do that all the time.
Yeah.
But the teacher was like, okay, well, if you see them falling, you can help them. And I was like, oh my God. Fail.
You see, Jocelyn, the comedy's built in. What a gag this is. So won't help give a child a toy and let him fall.
It's so confusing a lot.
I believe so they've made this movie, Jocelyn, and it was called Bad Moms and Bad Moms Christmas. Okay. I believe they made this movie.
I see it now. I've really got to see that. I'm just living it. It's funny.
Wow. I love that you've become the class example first day of school.
I know. I tried to
this
take
is,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wait. The good job thing, wait, what's the logic behind that? Just that it's like not to celebrate every action or something? Like, what's that?
Okay, I feel like other parents are going to listen to this and be like, Jocelyn, we need to help you. You're so confused. But
you know what? No, listen, I think people have, I will say this from the listeners that have given feedback. I think people appreciate different opinions and different sets of action, because okay. I think that's one of the joys of listening to the podcast is the idea that we have all these cool people on that we all love and respect, and everyone does it so differently. So really, there's no solution that this podcast gives anybody. There's 137.
Okay. So I find myself, and I think a lot of us are like this, wanting to say good job all the time. Like anytime the baby does anything, like great job. Like he's climbing the stairs now and I feel like I like scream every time he gets to the top, like, oh, and the crowd goes wild. This is so exciting. And then I'm like reading these things where it's like to not, I think it's about not celebrating the result too much, and that like it, like to not be like you need to win or like it, you need to finish this perfectly, but to more give encouragement for like the effort and things along the way. So I think I'm trying to mitigate some of my own impulse to just say good job all the time, because I've heard that. It seems like a good idea.
You know, I just had Eva Anderson on and we were talking about the satisfaction and sense of accomplishment from checking something off of a to-do list, which is a result-based celebration, because you don't celebrate mid-task.
No.
It's not like I'm celebrating this podcast with you halfway through the record and I'm going, you know what, we're killing this, look at us go. Which, by the way, we are killing this and look at us go, but anyways, with that aside, it's once this is done, I'm going to be like, great, Alana, you did one of your work-related tasks of the day that you had to get done and it went great and blah, 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 right? But it's like, if I didn't have that list, I sometimes wonder how much it would affect my self-esteem, you know what I mean?
Right. Oh my gosh, yes. Don and I practice this thing called deep work, where we we give ourselves, you know, we say like, okay, we're gonna turn off everything for like an hour, or we'll say an hour and a half, and we set timers, and then you know, we talk about what we want to complete in that time, and then if we do it, we get a snack.
Oh, yeah, I love this snack base. Well, okay, let's toss out some of the snack options. What are we working with here?
We go through phases for a long time. So these are like the more fun stuff. We went through a real Cheez-Its phase. This is embarrassing.
Oh, I love Cheez-Its.
We're a big popcorn people. So we make something called a popcorn snack, which is a very full bowl of like Boom Chicka Pop, that sort of thing. And then you always have a topper with it. So we often do like almonds that are like wasabi flavored. We like to do chips as a topper. But it's like
one makes sense. Yeah. Get the crunch.
The crunch. We like to do, we buy these like beer snack. What are they called? Like bar snacks. Sorry.
Beer snack? Oh, like pub mix?
Yeah, like pub mix. And then that can go on top. Oh, it's the little things in life. I don't know. That's our snacks. Yeah. But so
you know I love the Boom Chicka, the cheddar one.
I never buy the cheddar one.
Oh, yeah. Is that good? You wouldn't think to get it because you're like, oh, it's too much cheddar. No, it's just the right amount. I couldn't recommend it more. I love it. I'm putting that out there. If you guys want a real treat, or just get it as the topper so you're not committing to it. So get that popcorn as the popcorn topper.
You can really experiment with the topper. Yo, topping popcorn with other pop.
I love the topper. You had me immediately because you guys were like popcorn. And I was like, yeah, I love popcorn. Okay, great. Yeah. And then when you said topper, I was like, oh my God. Like, look at nachos. It's just the toppings.
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody's in it for the chips.
No.
God, no, that's embarrassing.
But so I see what you're getting at is that it's, you know, we celebrate a completion of something. And then you're saying maybe for the babies, we can also celebrate when something is completed and done. And
well, I'm more so saying it's it's just interesting, or I'm curious how it's going to pan out celebrating the effort in the long run. Because sometimes I feel controlled by this to-do list, and that, you know, you don't feel good if you don't get it done.
Yeah, I wish
I could celebrate a midway or be like, you're doing it. But then at the same time, I'm like, would I get anything done? I feel like that's my only fear.
Yeah, yeah.
Will I get anything done? I don't know, though. And me and your son, sure, we have a lot in common, but there's no way of knowing if we're going to turn out the same.
there's no
way. We're both friends with you.
That's right.
Both hilarious, as we've learned. He's a bit more of a physical comic, so am I. We've learned this.
That's true. It's very true. Do you still keep your to-do list? It's handwritten in a notebook?
You know what? Okay, it's kind of weird how I do it, because I stopped writing it in a notebook and started putting it in the notes in my phone. Because I would do things for like in advance from now and be able to see it all on the Monday to-do list, even if it's like Monday as in today and then next week's Monday, I would like put it a space down. Whereas when it's in like my calendar and my to-do list, I'm like flipping through pages and I would have a harder time keeping track. But I journal every morning, so in my journal I'll write my intent of what I want to do that day, like the generals of, like, one of them would be accomplish full list, and then another one would be like go for a walk. Like, I'm not going to put go for a walk on a to-do list.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it's like a general, so that goes in the journal, and then I pound out the actual list that's on the notes on my phone. Bit of a complicated answer, but listen, it's how I get stuff done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I need the bigger sense of the day as well, because what if you get all your tasks done by 11 a.m.? Well, now what?
No, yeah. My sister was telling me that, so she's an oncologist, and like I feel like very, she juggles a lot of things, like very good at multitasking, the sort of thing. And I was telling her, like, I have some of these projects that just get like swept underneath that, like, I never get to, and I feel so bad. Like, sometimes it's like giving notes on a friend's script or something that's just not like immediate and this type of thing, and it really stresses me out. And she was telling me that she heard something once where really successful people do this thing where they schedule everything. So if you have something on your to-do list that's like, you know, give Jim notes on his script, you don't just like keep that on your to-do list and not get to it. You schedule like, get Jim notes on his script. I'm going to do that Friday morning at 7, from 7 to 9.
Okay.
And you like schedule it. Isn't that a good advice?
That's fantastic advice and very ambitious. That is like, that sounds overwhelming, but I'm like, I could see how you get everything done, because you would just set alarms and you wouldn't even have to like think, okay, what's next? Because it would already be written out for you. It would already be done.
I thought you were going to say it's ambitious too, that I gave 2 hours to giving notes on a feature.
Oh my God. First of all, who is Jim? Second of all, what is this script about? I got to get to the bottom
of this,
Jocelyn.
I'm just never going to read it. One of my problems is I feel like everything takes me way longer than a normal person. I feel like I'm so slow at everything I do. And that's why I like got overwhelmed trying to schedule things, because I was like, 5.5 hours here. I have to write a paragraph on blah, blah, blah. There goes 4 hours.
Okay. Have you always been this way, or is this like part of, you know, as people say, mom brain or whatever, from being sleep deprived or something?
No, it's like a perfectionism thing more. It's like a, like just like working and working and not being happy with what you're doing, and just making things too complicated. Yeah,
that's a little torturous, but a little bit tricky to let go of, because often it does lead to quite a bit of success, like you have had. So it's kind of a terrible example, because you're like, I'm this way and it's driving me crazy, but it is working, so what do I do?
Thanks. That it is funny. It's a funny thing, like, now that we're directing, to be, now that, you know, we're like pitching on things and blah, 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 I really just so badly want to observe how other people do it. Like, Don and I always say, like, I wish we could just listen to a call of another director pitching, or like, I wish we could see, you know, whatever, because I think we get told sometimes that, like, our stuff, they're like, oh my gosh, you clearly worked so hard on this, or like, this is so handwritten. People will say, we're like, what do other people do? Like, like we feel like we are doing too much work, maybe, but we don't really know what the other option is.
You know what? I have a lot of that as well, where I'm like, what is the bare minimum that people are getting away with? How are they getting away with it? And how much does it screw them over?
Yeah.
So you sell something on the bare minimum, but then do you not have to go through and write that Bible or treatment no matter what? Like, is that, does that not have to happen at some point? So it's like, is it not creating more work just like a little further down the road with like a tighter deadline now because you didn't get a head start on it? I don't know. I'm with
it's
you.
It's all confusing. At least at that point, you'd be getting paid to do it, though, I'm sure.
Right, yeah, that's true. And here's the thing. That's okay, so this leads into knowing your own value, right? Because I've had this problem, I'm sure you have too, where you bring somebody too much free work to the table and get and don't get paid or be able to have as much of a negotiation because they already have so much of it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it kind of screws you, but at the same time, it can also make it easier to sell.
Yes.
So you're like, totally. You just got to bet on yourself and be like, this bare minimum is enough, but you're also taking a risk where they're going, it's not enough, see ya. And then you've lost your opportunity. So you're right. How are other people doing?
I don't know.
But you guys are doing great. Like, you and Don, I mean, from the outside looking in, I don't know what it's feeling like pitching and everything like that, but from the outside looking in, it's just like, we all started out, again, doing silly sketches or like fun improv shows kind of that live and die in the night and whatever. And then you two just like all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, we knew you were working on it, but it felt like all of a sudden have this wildly successful movie. And then it's just like, okay, great. Now they direct everything. And it was just like, what? It was like, so, because I saw the movie, absolutely loved it. We all did, obviously. It did so well in the festivals. Aww. And it was just so crazy that it was just like, it made so much sense. And I felt like everything fell into place. And I know you guys had done projects beforehand, but how nice for that one to just fucking click. And it all just clicked in. Amazing to watch, Jocelyn.
That's so nice. Thank you. That's so nice. I'm really happy that we did just make that movie because it changed our lives. Like,
changed
having
everything.
But
changed everything.
I do joke with people sometimes where I'm not joking. I really am like, just make something because it's, I feel like, you know, so many of us are held back by, you know, Don and I haven't made a second feature yet, too, because it's like this fear of like what, you know, if it won't be perfect or what is it going to be? And if I'm not ready or it's not the right time. And Greener Grass, our movie came together really quickly. Like, we had been pitching it as a TV version. Like, we sold a TV version of it that didn't end up going. And then we were like, we really want to be the directors of this. If we make a movie that's, you know, really low budget, we can at least control that. And like, and we can direct it and put our friends in it and and this and that. And we wrote different versions of the script, and then we took our producer out for dinner to celebrate her engagement, like a different thing. And we mentioned to her, like, we're working on our script, we, you know, it's close. And she was like, how close? And we were like, you know, it's we have some versions of it, blah, 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 we're not exactly happy with it. And she was like, if we can be shooting it in 2 months, we can submit to Sundance in September and blah, blah, blah. And we were like, oh, and she was like, can you get it ready for that? And it's kind of funny because she had produced this movie Thunder Road, which I was in, Jim Cummings' movie Thunder Road. And they had missed the Sundance deadline by like 3 weeks or something. And so she was like, damned if that's going to happen again. Like, I'm going to. And
wait, you guys got it together in 2 months?
It was so fast. I'm like trying to think what the exact timeline, but it was something like, but we had already been working on the script for like almost 6 months, like, you know, a while. We had like 20 different versions. But production but came together 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. Like 6 months working on the script. Okay, great. But the production, I mean, that's like lightning speed. That's insane. Lightning speed.
And what happened was, it was the kind of thing where, and we were lucky that we had funding. So that was like in place, but it was not much, you know, but it was really like we were, you know, we picked a date and Natalie was like, okay, I forget what it was, like August 6th, we're going to be shooting. And then things just started coming into place because we're like, you're a production designer, blah, blah, blah. We have a movie that's shooting August 6th. And then it just was, like, it just happened and came together.
And you got that whole cast on that amount of notice? The cast was so good.
Well, all that sort of stuff, like, needs to come in at the last minute anyway. Like, now that we're directing, like, commercials and music videos, like, that type of stuff, I'm like, oh, production really happens, like, the 2 or 3 weeks before you start shooting.
Right.
Because otherwise everything's just so theoretical that like it's hard to get people to commit to something because it's like, I don't know what I'm doing in November. But when you're like, can you be down in Georgia in like the next Thursday? They're like, actually I can. it's strange. But what I was going to say is like, it's when we got we got hired to direct our first TV job, which was Adam Ruins Everything. So some people we knew from back in the day and stuff, but they hired us for 2 episodes before our movie had even been edited. It was just that, like, I think, you know, people were posting that we were making it, and then we had a meeting with them and we brought a lot of stills from the movie and talked about the shoot. But we got hired to direct 2 episodes of theirs, which then put us in the DGA. And I was just laughing,
holy
like,
holy shit,
you just
Jocelyn.
Have to make a movie.
I had no idea about this Adam Ruins Everything. I'm thrilled I got to do an episode. It was so lovely. But I had no idea. This is wild.
Oh, that was so nice of them to, you know, trust us and give us opportunity.
You know what, though, Jocelyn? It all matters. It's like, even in the little music videos that I do, or like the tour I've been on with Mo, it's like, if you put it on paper, it's not like it's that big, but everything seems 1,000 times bigger when people are talking about it, or like, and more is being posted, and then people are like, oh yeah, what is that? And creates and generates so much interest. And then immediately what happens is, they're not just doing that because they see, oh, you're making a movie. They're going, oh, yeah, I remember them. They're super funny. They're remembering your body of work over the years at the live theater shows and this and that, or like whatever old web stuff we did. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, great. And they clearly are directing movies. Let's do it. So it's not even like, you guys had already been building this. We knew you guys as a duo. You've been doing shows for years together. Aww. Very funny. Moved here, did such a great job moving here and immersing yourself and everything like that. So it's like, yeah, I'm cool of them to do that, but their gain to do that as well. Oh, you know what I mean?
Well, so I've been thinking about self-esteem, knowing I was going to talk to you. And one of the things that, because I know you work with other people a lot too, and like one of the things that I wanted to bring up that I think hugely affects my self-esteem and confidence in situations is working as a team with Dawn. And I was thinking about myself in my life and like, remembering back to going away to camp. So I like grew up in a suburb of Chicago, and I went to this fine arts camp. It was called Blue Lake Fine Arts in Michigan, kind of the little sister of Interlochen, if anybody knows that. And that's what Blue Lake calls ourselves, not Interlochen. This, two people are going to appreciate this reference. Anyway.
Guys, if you appreciate the reference, tweet at us. Hashtag, we love it.
Anyway, like the first time I went to the camp, it's a 3-week long camp. And, you know, I was studying acting there, 12 years old. I went by myself, and I was really shy and just didn't have that good of a time. I was like writing my parents these dramatic letters, like, these people say they can teach acting. Ha! Huh. Like, there's not good, like, really dramatic that I found recently.
Now, those your dad's got to keep. Keep those.
That's cute. They're really terrible and funny. But then I remember thinking the whole time, like, I want to come back with my friend Haley. And then the next summer I did. My parents were like, you want to go back there? Like, I can't believe it. And I was like, yes, I do. And it was all because I was like, I could see how it could be fun, but I wasn't able to like have it exactly by mm-hmm. myself. And then I came back with my friend, and we like ruled the little acting class because we were like the most confident because we were together, you know? And
yeah,
like,
of it's course
such
I know.
A difference. When I say ruled, I just mean like we were outgoing and like had
we ruled.
You guys, we were the rulers. But it's funny because like that's a microcosm, I feel like, of what I've made my career now, which is doing things with my partner Dawn. And you know, even doing this today with you, I feel like I haven't done podcasts alone that much. And in fact, I say no a lot of the times when I get asked, because I don't know, it just seems like, I don't know, but
I've got Dawn on my list. I have like a short list of people that I'm like, okay, reach out to them. And you don't want to reach out to everyone all at once, 'cause you don't want to pre-record too many episodes. And then it's like a little out of date by the time it airs, you know, 'cause I mean, you see this, we can wind up talking about anything. So I try to keep them fresh and current. So I've got Dawn on my list. But
I thought you were going to be like, I've got Dawn on the line.
I've got Dawn on the line, and she's heard everything.
She doesn't like that you're doing this.
I've got Dawn on the list, and I did consider asking both of you together, but self-esteem is such a personal topic that I'm like, it is kind of hard. I have had a duo on before, and it was really hard because you can't really address both people at the same time. You can talk about the stuff you do, but it's like, she might be feeling a 7 today and you're feeling a 5. And I'm like, well, these are two different conversations.
They're
two completely different answers, a 5 and a 7.
Totally.
So it's like, how do you have that together? And now I gotta have Dawn's new niece on as well.
That's right.
Oh my God, the birth of this baby. Now I gotta get the whole family on
here. I know, the whole family. Yeah. But do you feel like that you're more confident going to things with, or like being in a duo?
Yes. Yes. I will say this. I've had a lot of women I've worked with over the years of comedy partners, and actually one guy that I worked with a lot. I always felt better hitting the stage or hitting a party or going to a meeting with that other person, because it's just more fun.
Yeah.
And I'm confident when I'm having fun.
Yeah.
Recently I've been doing solo performance, like the tour with Mo was two separate shows. So it was like two solo shows, and we just went on the road together, and it's been very different. It's been from doing like sketches together with other people, I've really come to enjoy it. I can see the appeal of stand-up, but the writing process is just more lonely until you bounce it off of somebody else. You know what I mean? Like, it's not as fun when it was just me by myself working on it, which is why I best Ellen directed it. You know what I mean?
To have someone, but it's so good for yourself as an artist to be doing that. Like, I'm so glad to hear you are.
I appreciate that. It was kind of the thing it was what the next step was, because when I would work with people, it would be so amazing and so fun, but I think what we would want would change. So that's kind of when you naturally kind of part your ways, or like still work together but in a different capacity because maybe this other thing's taking your focus. And I gotta say, I think it's like, I commend you and Dawn, and what luck that you guys have been able to work together and make money together, and that everybody wants both of you, because sometimes it's so hard to establish yourself as a duo and be able to maintain that and keep that while still having individual pursuits as well. Cause it's not like you guys play on everything together. Definitely. Yeah. You had some stuff that you guys both did separate, just mod and stuff like that.
For sure. Yeah.
But it's like, I commend you both for being able to stick it out together. Cause that's not easy to do. You know what I mean? Let alone thrive. Really?
I know. I feel so lucky that Dawn and I are able to do that. Yeah. It's really like a once in a lifetime relationship. I hope it lasts our lifetime, and so dramatic. But it's I do feel like the best creative version of myself when I'm with her often, which I hope she does too, you know, which I think is really
great. Has it been hard having her away this week with everything that happened, especially that pertains to both of you with
It was a weird time. Yeah, that, but it's, and she wasn't away all week. It's just been 2 days.
Oh, I thought it was like this full thing. And I said, it's been a rough week. I would feel really bad too if my pal was gone. It'd be tough for me too. No,
it's
2 days.
It's really not long. No, maybe 3 now.
Just so dramatic.
It's really short. No, I do feel, I was thinking about this too, that like, I heard something about introverts and extroverts, that one way to tell if you're an introvert or an extrovert is extroverts get like charged from being with other people and more energy, whereas introverts, it's like exhausting to be with other people and you need to retreat and be with yourself. Does that resonate for you, that description?
100% the needing to recharge, for sure. Yeah. I feed off of people when I'm with them, and then I have to come home and like go to sleep. I'm like, well, good night. I can't keep this up any longer.
Yeah. It's, I totally notice with myself that I need the energy of being with people. Like when I have days especially when I lived alone or something, have days when I don't see people, I'm in such a worse mood. And it's when I like start feeling bad about myself and things, even just like an afternoon when Barker's like out at his soccer game, and that I'm like too much time alone and I get in like a darker place. And then, and I can feel that, like, even today and yesterday, not having Dawn to work with all day, I do feel a little more like...
I think everybody's just different in that way. Some people are just, like, natural-born team players. And they just, like, they just work well with other people around. And here's the thing. It's, like, people, like, my mom is really like that, like, can just have people around, her family around, whatever, my dad around all the time.
All the time.
Just, like, living the dream. And I'm definitely, like, a recharge person or whatever, and would spend a lot of time in my room after school and stuff like that. But it's, like, you need the mix of both, because if it was all just like me, we would not see each other. No one would hang out. It'd be like, I'm recharging. Actually, I'm recharging too. so you need the constants. We need the Jocelyns that are just like, hey guys, I'm here, let's hang. Thank you for your service.
Yes. So funny.
Jocelyn.
Yes.
We're nearing the end of the big podcast. Oh. You started out. I know it's a bummer, but I got to go to therapy. You
started this wasn't your therapy?
I don't know what to tell you. Like, I don't know what to say. Well, now I have to go to therapy to assess all the things that we talked about on the podcast.
But wait, didn't I just tell you that it makes me feel bad when I'm alone and you're leaving me?
It does make you feel bad. Well, here's the thing. I was going to ask how you're feeling. You started off maybe a 5 or 6. Yeah. I was going to ask how you're feeling now, because we touched on a lot of subjects. And if you're feeling less than a 5, I'm going to extend the invite for you to come to therapy with me.
I have to be honest. I I feel better. I'm back up there at a 7. Because I really like you, and I really am so happy to be talking
Jocelyn,
with you.
Jocelyn, I'm so happy to be talking to you. I'm so glad that we could, because I know how busy you are, and you're out of town and everything. And I was like, like I said, when I asked you, I'm like, I don't take offense. If you can't do it, because I'm like, you know me. I'm like, I don't care. Everybody's got their own thing going. But I was so glad that we could connect, and it was like, and when I got the email from you, when you were like, can we push it by an hour? I was like, she's still in? You got it. I was like, oh, no problem. You think I won't cut it close making it to therapy to talk to Jocelyn? Yes, I will.
Oh, my God.
No, don't say sorry at all, because I'm so glad that we got to connect. And it's so like, this podcast has been such an excuse for me to like catch up with pals and everything like that. And it was so nice to see you at Ingrid's. And it was like, just popped into my head. I was like, yeah, Jocelyn, it was just so nice to see you.
I feel honored to be on the podcast, and I want to acknowledge that I think in addition to it being nice to catch up with friends and everything, I think you're doing really important work. I think it's things in our profession can feel lonely and, you know, confusing, and I think like when I've listened to your podcast, it makes me feel less lonely and more, you know, it's stronger as a group together. So I think that's great.
Jocelyn, that's so sweet. Thank you so much. I might use this as a sound clip.
Oh my gosh.
Sound bites for advertising. Everyone will be like, what's the podcast about? And I'm going to be like, shut the fuck up. Jocelyn loves it. Get out of my face.
Oh, sweet.
This is going to be my new approach, is telling people to shut the fuck up when they ask what the podcast is about.
It's perfect.
Totally innocent question. So, Jocelyn, why don't you tell us where we can find your movie?
Yes.
If for people that haven't already seen it.
So our movie is called Greener Grass, and it is on Hulu.
And so
maybe,
good.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Well, I watched it right away, opening weekend. Got to get those numbers in.
Oh, thank you.
Right when your movie came out, you got to get them in. Jocelyn, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. And I can't wait to have Dawn on and get the true side of the story.
Oh, my gosh.
Are you two close? Do you work together well? Dawn's going to be like really looking to get out on my own here.
She's going to get a different lies. Story. Just remember that.
No, she lies, kidding. You guys. Jocelyn, you're the best. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Thank
Bye.
You.
All right, guys, this is one last reminder to check out our sale, buy one, get one 40% off with Ana Luisa Jewelry at shop.analuisa.com/self-esteem. You won't regret it. Bye.
Believe in yourself. Believe in your body.